Well, did we catch all the testimonies and everything? Everybody's properly ventilated? Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation. We'll turn to chapter 4 and read verses 5 through 9. No, Eddie has this memorized. Pam may have it memorized. In fact, the whole church may have it memorized. But Revelation chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. And here we go. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. I guess the last two go with it, don't they? So let's go on. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now this morning, we presented on the board a simple model that God has given us of the kingdom. And it is the tabernacle. And that's what we've been talking about the last two or three weeks. And first, God has begun, well, first he began with Jesus. And then he gave the church. And we spoke of some of the other names which Bible gives the church. What are they? Sons of God. And what else? The bride of the Lamb. And what else? Brothers of Jesus. All showing relationships. And what else? Body of Christ. And what else? The New Jerusalem. And what else? The tabernacle of God. All showing different functions and relationships. Is there anything else? The holy city, speaking of the purity of the situation. I'm going to do this real pro. It's got a blackboard. Whiteboard. Holy city. Anything else?
These are all, as I understand, absolutely synonymous. They just show different functions and relationships of this tremendous, exalted, holy, perfect, without spot or wrinkle, only one of its mother, only one of her mother, elect. They're also called elect. And the saints. The word saints means holy ones. Alright, but what else? Now, everyone in the church is saved because it says in Acts 2, the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. So in this dispensation, if you want to call it that, the purpose is to get the people, is to build the church, and they are saved. Now, are these the only people in the world who are going to be saved? So we studied this morning, bringing out the scriptures. No, so you have, within the smaller rectangle, which represents the church, you have a larger rectangle representing the nations of the saved. I can't think of a more important idea for us today, for this reason. As Paul was saying tonight, and as we say so often in this church, we talk about death, and of course that's a gloomy topic, and when you're experiencing it, it's even worse. And we talk about the problems that we have and how hard it is and the situation. And I'm always plucking feathers out of the people, making a bad thing worse. And we said, you know, well, why is this? Why is this? If we're saved by the blood of Jesus, what is all this that a guy, like we were talking this morning about the guy that's losing his daughter and he's dying, and different ones talk about, say, boy, I've got to die this death. And Fran tries to get up and do something for the first time in her life, and she reminds me of a guy, first and only time he got off the bench and was at bat and struck out, and you go back completely frustrated. You get another chance, Fran. I know that feeling. We should have gave her one more shot at that. Stan, she didn't get out of her system. She was doing real good. And why do we go through these various mortifications, light and heavy? And why is this, David? When it's the Bible just says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What is all this death that we're going through? And this running of the race and this climbing up Mount Zion by our fingernails. What is going on? Can you tell from the diagram?
We're not actually in the church. Trying to hang out.
Well, that could very well be. But God is calling us to more than salvation. And the church consists, the church will be ruling all these other people. That is it. And also, if we get into it tonight, we will not be the same as they. Because they won't have resurrected bodies, because it's to the overcomers who are given to eat of the tree of life. So they won't have a white stone. They won't be clothed in white. They'll just be people. And you see, if God were saving us just to live eternally on the new earth, or even less, to live in the spiritual realm in heaven where you don't even need to be resurrected, none of this would be necessary. I mean, why should your soul be poured out to death? Why should we go through this that we're going through? You know, here we are in a little church, a handful of people, and here's Christendom in the United States enjoying themselves. Having a wonderful time, having a blast. You know, music, lights, action, things happening. Why should there be a little group of introspective souls talking about death all the time? It does not compute if salvation and the church are coincidental lines. That is, if they are the same thing, and all we're talking about is dying and going to heaven, and it's the same whether you go to a church that preaches the rapture and makes little or no demands upon you and lets you get divorced if you want and marry somebody else and start a couples club with your new adulterous husband or whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter because we're saved by grace. Why should we, on the other hand, work with such a patient little situation? It makes no sense unless this model obtains, and what God is after is not our salvation, but our perfection. See, if we are being made something that the rest of saved mankind is not, if we really are being made rulers, and I don't think we've given much thought to that, what it will be like to rule people, I don't think we sit down and spend a long time thinking about the actuality of actually being in a resurrected body and ruling human beings on the earth and what is entailed there and why it's so necessary that we die to self, because if we're still in disobedience to God, obviously we're in no shape to be in a resurrected body with supreme power making judgments among nations. Okay? If all of this is true, then the things that God is teaching us from His Word about the church are absolutely essential. It isn't because Thompson is harsh. That's not the reason. It's because we don't know how to pacify people or how to pick out glad and happy passages. That isn't the problem. I don't think we're sick. The thing is, there's another issue. And the issue is not salvation. The issue is rulership. The issue is this thing to which the church is called to be a perfect, spotless complement of the Lord Jesus. That's a real issue. And of course, it's clearly scriptural, even though it isn't preached much. But that's why this church has the tenor of these high demands, and as you notice, I'm not getting any easier. How many have noticed them? I hope I never do. I feel just as rambunctious tonight as I felt when I came down here 6.5 years ago. I feel just as rambunctious. I have no intention whatsoever of changing. Praise the Lord. Because God keeps showing me more and more, as Paul was pointing out, the seeds that have been planted in our generation are bearing fruit now. And they're like I told you this morning, a pastor saying, you know, forgive this guy that took your wife and your daughters, didn't bother to get a reward. Just let him have your children and forgive him. That's the fruit of incorrect doctrine. Suppose they were your daughters, then you'd be really upset. All right, now, so we're not talking about being saved. Everyone in this room is saved. That's not even the issue. The issue is, are we going to make this supremely high calling, which the church is, first of all, as we've said many times, we can. There's not a person in this room that cannot do it. It's not calling for Christian heroics. It's more, as we said some months ago, it's a case of maintaining that which God has already given us. Jumping the hurdles that come to us. That's the issue. Not trying to do something or prove anything, but merely coming victorious through every day by the Lord's grace. That's the issue, is knowing how to dodge through these things that are coming against us. Has anything come against anyone in here this last week that tested your faith? Huh? See, God didn't ask you to start in the week and say, now what are you going to do to show that you can attain to this high goal? No, that's not the issue. He said, here's something for you to think about. And then let me ask you a question. Did you win or did you lose? If you were overcome by it, you see, then you know you're in a warfare. See, then you don't quit. You don't say, oh, I'll never be a king and priest or anything. You say, Lord, and neither do you ignore it and say, you're wonderful. You say, Lord, the next shot, give me one more shot at leading that course. Give me one more chance to show you that I can pray and gain the victory. See, that's what the overcomers are. They're not super people. They're just victorious saints. And they do make mistakes. And they do flop. But they're in dead earnest. And when they flop, they are the most miserable people on earth. Somebody wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth. If I write, I'm going to write a book called The Most Miserable People on Earth. And those are the called of God who have got something that they haven't got the victory over. And they are the most miserable. You know, the true overcomer, he can stand anything, hell or high water. The one thing he cannot stand is the displeasure of his Lord. And that's all. It isn't any great thing. It's just ordinary, victorious Christianity. That's all. No heroics. But the things that are shot at us, see, this is not, we're not talking about the infantry. We're talking about officers' training. OCS, Officer Candidate School. See, that's what we're talking about. And it's much more rugged. It's much more rugged. And if you have your cap set for this, just remember, tomorrow's going to be interesting. But you're going to get the victory through His grace, but you can't afford one little bit of vacillation, because if you do, it will take just that edge that will allow the devil to get a lick in at you, and then you'll have spend 5 minutes of carelessness, and you'll have 3 or 4 weeks to dig yourself out. Spend a week of carelessness, you'll have 3 or 4 years to dig yourself out. Spend a year of carelessness, and you'll have the rest of your life digging yourself. This is a rough race, but it's perfectly possible for everyone in the room, and we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about what Paul said, I'm forgetting that which is behind, I'm endeavoring to grasp that for which I have been grasped, and that is membership in the church. Membership in this ruling body. All right, now we look at, first we found in Revelation chapter 4, in verse 8, we started verse 6. All right, we're talking about the throne. See? And before the throne, we're talking now about rulership. See, we are called to rule, kings and priests. We are more than saved. God doesn't say that He called you and separated you in order that you might be saved. It says so that you might be a royal priesthood. Royal meaning being in the king's palace, not just a priest, but a ruling priest, a governing priest. And guess how long you're going to rule? Revelation 22, what is it, verse 4? And they shall see His face, and they shall reign forever. We are being trained to rule God's creation forever, and ever, and ever. You say, well, someday there will not be a need for rulership. There will always be a need for rulership. Right? There will always be a need for rulership. See, it's so contrary to what we've always understood. Heaven to be an ungoverned kind of paradise in which you kind of waltz around and pick the flowers. No, no. God is talking about the fact, I made this earth and I made it to be inhabited, and I'm not leaving it to other men to govern it. I'm going to govern it through an elect body called the church. Call out from the world, perfected to show My glory. It will never happen again. It will never happen again. This is the only time These 2,000 years of church history are the only time that God's rulership will be formed. The rest of eternity will consist of creations governed by God's eternal servants. So you see, if God were to pest you to death all 75 years of your life, it would be nothing. It would be nothing. Because you're being made a ruler forever. See, so if you catch a glimpse of what God is doing, it helps a lot when you ram your car up and fold the thing up like an accordion and this goes wrong and that goes wrong and your wife leaves and takes the kids and everything else. If you realize what is at stake, why God is training you. God could have prevented that thing with that woman running off of that guy's daughter. He could have prevented that. But he's teaching that man to look to him, to stand. And you see, it's by election. 8, 10, 15 other Christians will never go through a thing like that. All around him, rejoice and praise the Lord. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with him is he's been selected for the ruling priesthood. Okay? And from then on, boy, your steps are ordered. Click, 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 click. They're wrought in steel. And God will be on your case continually because he has an enormous stake in you. He's going to live in you forever and be married to you and give you all things. You're going to receive that given to man. You're going to rule over all the works of God's hands and be in his image and be a part of his son. All these wonderful things. That's not ordinary salvation. That's the race. That's the crown. That's the glory. And that's why all this pestiferous stuff. Once you talk about the throne, this is what you're into. And you notice that there's a sea of glass like in a crystal. Now you see this in the Revelation where it is pure gold. See, it's clear. And that's what God is doing in us. Now, the things of sin tend to be obscure. The things of holiness tend to be transparent. And you see, as we go along in God, we become increasingly transparent. See, the more sinful we are, the more obfuscated we are, and the more confused. You get a sinner around, or a person walking in the soul, the first thing you'll have is confusion. Did you ever notice that? You bring in a man or woman of God into a situation that is praying, and the first thing you begin to notice is order begin to come out of chaos. See, they begin, the saints bring order out of chaos. They restore paths of dwelling. But you bring in a person who's in sin or disobedience or walking in the soul, and the first thing you know, the house is in an uproar. Everybody's yelling, and there's confusion. Nobody knows what's going on. Okay? He that doeth truth runneth to the light, that his deeds may be revealed. We don't like it. When you find yourself trying to hide, that's because it's something you're ashamed of. And the more the gold in us is refined, the more transparent we become. Praise the Lord. This sea, around wherever you get into the rulership, you find this clarity. You can come against God's rulers. You can look at them from every dimension. You can see right through them because they are not manipulating you. They are not seeking their own. They are not trying to hide. They are running for constant clarity so that they don't see through a glass darkly, but see the Lord face to face. There's no darkness in them. That's part of rulership. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four, not beasts, as in the King James, but living creatures. Now, here's your rulership. And the number four in the Bible symbolism in these great seven steps of redemption. Seven is perfection when we reach the fullness of Christ. Four represents Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, Jesus rules by the power of an endless life. Life. It's the power of life that is in God's rulers. The number four represents Pentecost. That's the fourth feast. All right. Now we come. And this is very important, and it's repeated twice. They're full of eyes before and behind. Eyes. Now notice, before, behind, and if you'll glance down a couple verses, what does it say? Within and without?
For them? And what verse is that? 8. What does it say? Is it within and without, as I remember?
Around and within.
Yeah?
Around and within.
Well, we must say what the Bible says. Must have got without from some poem or something. Means the same thing. All right, now, we studied before about sight. Remember, I counseled the body of me, eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Now, what is it that brings spiritual sight? Do you remember? How many remember in 2 Peter, 1st chapter? Add unto thy faith virtue, and unto virtue whatever, and whatever, and whatever. And then what does it say? If you do not do these things, what? Yeah, and what does it say? He that lacketh these things is all sins, he is blind, and he cannot see afar off. So sight comes from holiness. And God wants us to see what has gone before. And what is ahead. And what is inside of us. And what is outside of us. He wants us to perceive the past. And perceive the future. And perceive what is within. And perceive what is without. Blindness in the scriptures associated with sin and self-seeking. Remember, you fools and blind, Jesus said. You blind Pharisee. So sight, so God's rulers have spiritual sight of the past, the future, and as the present, within and without. So, they're full of eyes. God wants us full of eyes. He does not want us blind. He does not want us walking along and all of a sudden there's an earthquake or a war. He wants us to know what's going on. He wants us to know ourselves and not be walking in inner blindness. He wants to see what God is doing outside of us, to perceive what God is doing. Full of eyes. And the only way we get sight is by holiness. That's the only way. Where there's any sin, there is darkness. If thine eye be dark, how great is that darkness? God wants our eye to be single, full of light. That is absolutely necessary. God's rulers see. And you remember when Samson lost his separation, the first thing that happened was what? They put out his eyes. That's what has happened to the church. It's blind. It's living in blindness. It's blind. The blind lead the blind. And God wants us full of eyes so that we can see and know and be transparent. That's essential to rulership. Absolutely. All right. Then we spoke Tuesday night and this morning about our character must be transformed. So that we are strong, we cannot have in the church a person who is weak. That it cannot be. A person who is a pushover for the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And if you don't feel that way, come up and be prayed for at the end of the service. Let the brethren pray, and God will give you courage. Courage. Praise the Lord. There's no place, the kingdom is no place for people who perceive themselves to be shrinking violets. This is no place. It is for people who are determined to be strong when your knees are knocking. You say, I am strong in the Lord. I was strong in the Lord. You're a lion. You've got to be a lion to rule with God because there's going to be a lot of competition. Even in the kingdom age, there'll be people resisting you. Don't forget, at the end, they join with Satan and come up against the saints. All through eternity, there'll be people resisting you. God is creating you to enforce His will. That's what it means to rule. What does it mean to rule? Huh? It means to command what is to be done, doesn't it? Well, it says in Revelation 22, they shall rule forever. So there's something that's got to be ruled. Human beings, being the way they are, do not like to be ruled. The church doesn't like to be ruled either.
None of us like to be ruled, but we have to learn to accept the kingdom. When God puts someone over us, we have to accept it. We have to accept the laws of the kingdom. If we do not, we cannot be in the kingdom, much less rule. Until we are willing to be ruled, we cannot rule others. The kingdom of God is a hierarchy of rulership. And we see our whole society militates against that. It's the opposite of democracy. See, democracy, the idea is the individuality. I do what I please. That's one of the fruits, Paul, that we're seeing now, is the fruit of that thing, is teaching people individuality. The net result of that is divorce. That's right. I had a feeling about that, and it came to great clarity. I was in a store the other day, and the person ahead of me was, a lady was saying to the cashier, who was also a lady, there was a lady and then a man in front of me and then myself, and the lady down the line there was leaving, and she was saying, oh, my husband tells me what clothes to wear, and he tells me all these things, and everything, and she went out, this little mouse scampered out of the store, and here her husband cares so much about her that he tells her everything to do. So this dominated person went, and here's this man, and so the cashier, who was a lady, unloaded on him. And I've been entertaining. You know, I've been preaching about individualism, that we lose that when we become merged with Christ. Not our identity, but our individualism. It's essential in marriage. But I've been toying with this because it's been in my spirit, but this brought it right out. And this woman was doing the catcher, says, I'm an individual. I'm an individual. I thought, sure, go right ahead, lady. Go right ahead. You keep it and see how far you get. That's why you get divorced. You've got two people who are maintaining their rights. And you can't get, because the idea, an individual is an integer. Singleton. The idea of marriage is the two become one. And so there must, of necessity, be a loss of individuality, because otherwise in the marriage you always have two. That's very interesting. You talk about a death. Ha! That's the key to a lot of things. That's why the church doesn't get along with Jesus. It's trying to be an individual. This woman stood there and just expostulated. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. I thought, good luck, sister. I would think a lady would be delighted to have a husband that cared so much. I don't know the circumstance of that poor woman's situation, but she looked immensely happier than the cashier. I mean, she just pressed out of there. There's somebody that cared about her. But this other woman is going to be a singleton, bless God. I doubt. She's probably divorced. I don't know that she is, but I rather expect she is. Because marriage, by definition, requires. And you see, by these seeds that Paul was referring to, by planting, and it's Satan, planting in people, you are an individual. You are an individual. One, it makes it possible for them to have a happy marriage. Two, it makes it impossible for them to be wed to Jesus Christ. Right? It's like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own way before him. Praise the Lord. The two, saith he, shall be one. 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 Okay. The lion, how'd I get out of that from the lion? The lion, we have to have that ferocity. Remember we said about the bride, and there's all these concubines and queens, and they said, that the New American Standard brings out that the ninth verse runs into the tenth, saying, who is this that looks forth as the morning, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? It's this only one, this bride. And she is no Eve, although she has lost her individuality in Jesus. although Jesus, she is one with Jesus. She is not trying to be another Jesus. She is one with Jesus. She is his train. She has given all. Her supports have been kicked out from her. And she's flopped on the Lord. And he has become her husband and her mother and her brother and her sister and her all in all, which the Lord loves. And utter helplessness. Thou art my Lord, and I will worship thee. You're the one. I'm not going to try to be anything, Lord, an individual or anything. I know you'll give me my identity, but what I want is you, and you're everything. And I want to be swallowed up in your train. Yet, we are, anybody else comes against us, and we're a lion. Right? The Lord's bride has to be that way, otherwise Satan could get at him through us, just like he got at Adam through Eve. Okay. Now, see, that destroyed Adam when his wife sinned, because the two were one, so that meant half of him was in sin. That was bad news for him. Because they were really one. All right, so the kingship, if we're going to be a part of the church, our character has to be transformed until it's like a lion. Secondly, like a calf, it says. In Ezekiel, I believe it's an ox, a calf. And a calf is a beast of burden. Grows up to be a beast of burden. And as this is, of course, the service. We talked about that. And some, two came to me after the service, and they said, well, we don't feel we're doing enough. Let me say something about that service thing. We don't have to sit and bounce up and down while we're eating breakfast and saying, I'm not serving, I'm not serving. That's not the point. The Lord didn't say, go be fishers of men, did he? What did he say? I will make you fishers of men. And there's a big difference there between trying to fish for men and letting the Lord make you. So as I told these two people this morning, you don't have to be in bondage or under a debt or feel obligated like I'm not doing enough, and sit and shake your foot to show you're hurrying while you're eating. Audrey's sister used to do that. Say, I'm hurrying. She shook her foot while she was eating. That means she was hurrying. That's a family joke. Anyway, it does no good for us just to get indigestion from the preaching. What we do is say, Lord, I realize that the normal Christian life is a life of service. And we do not know what our ministries are. In many cases, people come up and say, well, Brother Thompson, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, you'll never know your ministry until you do what? Until you really come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that you have something for me. What is it? See, you've got to take that step. Then you don't fret yourself. That's all you can do. Then the Lord has to. But the point is, you don't get yourself so involved in this world that you have no ministry. You have a ministry. You have a ministry. And, of course, with our economic culture the way it is, an industry, they'd ask not only for a man's 40 hours a week, they ask for his soul. They ask to consume him. And that's what happens to us, you see. It becomes so interesting, we get drawn in, and then our service is minimized, gift to that of our life to that which is profiting nothing eternally is maximized, and we went up. So it even gets to the place where, as in my case, as in Audrey and me and Les and Sherry and others, now Les had a plumbing yard going. He had pile up some money in his business. That's what he's using to support himself while he's ministering. You see, Les and Sherry are giving their lives. See? Now, no one in San Diego County would say to them, you're not a Christian because you kept your plumbing yard. But they are doing what the Bible says. They are really serving. And they are left the business with someone else, and however they're doing it, they're going to do what is important. Now, while the time, and you remember in the first chapter of Haggai, the people were restoring the temple, and then they all began to get interested in their plot of ground and their house, and pretty soon it was 60% of their time at home and 40% on the restoration. Then it was 80% of their time at home and 20% on the restoration. And finally the prophet Haggai spoke and he said, you're saying it isn't time. And you're going to your panel houses. And God says it is time. But you see, they didn't know that until the prophet spoke. They didn't know that. They figured it was all right and the temple wasn't built, but it must somehow not be time. And what I'm saying is this. The way that we regard time and the vision that we have, the hour in which we live, is extremely important. And if we're not real red hot and tuned into the Lord, we begin to get the feeling, and you know, if we listen to the radio and the television, it's presenting a different time concept to us. The idea is, everything's alright, so we have no eyes within and without, because the television is blindness on wheels. We don't know what's going on. It's, if we don't have a lot of real godly life to counterbalance it, we get the feeling like, well, you know, I should be taking my money, and if I invest it at this time, I can get a return which may not be possible in another 3 years or 4 years if the economy flattens out a little bit. And think what I could be doing then. Or I'm going to need this money. Because I'll need my retirement. I'll need my stocks. I'll need my income. I'm going to need this down the trail. See, it's strictly a question of time. Because if you knew that a year from now, for example, that the dollar was worth nothing, you would behave differently. If you have money, you would behave differently. You say, well, if I've only got a year in which to give it to the gospel, and after that I'm not going to have it, I might as well shoot it, you see. I might as well get some good out of my money. Am I right? It's a function of time. It's a function of time. And the only way that we can tell time is by the prophets. We have no other way. For all we know, it may be true that the big thing in life is Fernando Valenzuela. That may really be heavy. A real issue in our country. And that is presupposing that it's going to be business as usual. From here on out, the Middle East will blow over. The Falklands will blow over. And next year at this time, we'll be here plus our interest. It's purely a function of time. But if we knew 6 months from now, the dollar would be worth nothing. We'd say, well, now, wait a minute, you know, I better get down to this ministry of giving because I could be getting the gospel out. It isn't going to be worth anything. It's a function of time. And with our lives and with our retirement schemes is a function of how we view time. And these people in Haggai's day were saying, it isn't time for the temple. And they were running and they were paneling their houses. They were spending their time in their house. They left off building the temple. And God said, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You go home and do that. But he said, I am going to put holes in your money bags. He said, I'm going to blow on your crops. I'm going to take it out of you. That's what God said. So they lost coming and going. They didn't have the glory of building the temple, and they lost that which they were building because they weren't building in the Lord. And I'm not saying to anybody, you should give this or you should give that. I'm telling you, only what the Bible says. And I'm saying that this calf notion, this ox, this sacrificial animal service, sacrificial service concept, which is one of the four character transformations that we undergo to be a ruler, is extremely serious business. And the church in the United States used to know it. And they used to, man, they raise their kids up. Their kids, as soon as they get married, off they go to Africa and give their lives, one after another. The church, it was a Baptist milieu, and it was service-oriented, missionary-oriented, you see. But we have gone through our charismatic flip-flops, and charismatic is an affluent move. It's not martyr-oriented, it's rapture-oriented. It is easy, $8 a plate, a breakfast-oriented, see? It's a wrong orientation to the kingdom of God. And if I understand the Spirit, I can't be too explicit until God shows me a little bit further some of the things He showed me. I cannot afford to be explicit because I do not have a proven ministry. But I want to iterate in this realm of prophecy and saying what's going to come and what isn't going to come, I would just say this. Seek the Lord about service. I mean, redouble your zeal in this direction and say, God, is it true that I am saving my money only to have it taken from me? And I'll tell you why I'm pressing this, because I know the openings that there are in the radio. So far, because a few people gave. Now, it was quite a surprise to me, because when it started, I wasn't even asking. And I don't intend to either plead for money and say, everybody give so much and we can go on another station. I'm not going to run the church like a business. I don't think that's right. And anyway, that gets everybody off the hook, because when they finally get me shut up, they can go back and do their thing. No, I'm not going to play that one. What I'm saying is, there are direct doors that could be open. Now, this little book we had printed up, this blue book, now that's going to this guy that called me weeping on the phone. He had read that book, and it had helped him. Right? Somebody in this church bought one of those and gave it to him, and it had helped him. And he's fighting for his very sanity and his very life. Now, we've got a nation full of people fighting for their very sanity and their very life, and we have opportunities to publish, to distribute, to be on the radio, and to do these things. And the only thing that's holding it up right now is money. And I'm not going to beg for money. I don't think that's right, because I don't want anything of mine to go out until it's God's time. But what I'm saying is this. If it is God's time, and if the holdup is simply because we're saving our money for the interest, then these people that would have been helped, their blood will be on our hands. And this church will have missed its role in the kingdom of God. It's just that serious. And I think God is talking to me, and I submit it all out to you. The prophets speak, let the others judge. I think God is speaking to me along this vein, that we are not entirely fulfilling our role. And I think one of them is we're adjusting to the message, and we're not fully cognizant of what's at issue. Even though we hear the letters, we go home and we think, yes, but someday in the future, some millionaire in Texas is going to send Brother Thompson $100,000, and those books are going to get out. And I think it's a function of time. Someday, it's going to be time for the word to get out. It's just like in Haggai, you say it isn't time. And maybe it'll come through the mail. Maybe somebody out there will do it. Is that right? And it'll all be done. Because surely it's not now. It's got to be next year. But what if it were? Let's hypothesize. What if it actually were now? And God was expecting us to do it. And the people were there ripe for the harvest. And we spent our time with our money in the bank. How are we going to face Jesus Christ? And I think there's more than a slim chance that actually is what is taking place. As far as I can tell from prayer and what I think the Lord is telling me, I rather gather that is what is taking place. We're missing it. We're missing it. We have an opportunity to reach many, many people who have desperate needs, and we're playing a close-to-the-chest conservative game. And it's not sacrificial at all. If it isn't tax deductible, we won't touch it. And that in itself is wrong. That is wrong. That is a wrong aspect. It doesn't matter whether it's tax deductible. All that means is that we just gave less. You see, because some of it, the way it worked out, it just has to do with the amount we actually were able to give. There's no law against giving to something that is not tax deductible. The radio is tax deductible. Trumpet Ministries is not tax deductible. But the point is, that's not the issue. The issue is, what does God want you as an individual to do? That's the only issue. And I can't tell. You see, I have no way under heaven knowing who should do what. Sometimes the people who surprise you will give the most. It's just unbelievable. So I'm not going to do God's business. I'm not going to play Holy Spirit. But this business of the servant is really a very important thing. Service, sacrificial service. Are we giving our life to the gospel, or are we coming to church and saying, Jesus, I love you, and going home and living like anybody else in the world? Giving our tithe or our extra $7, and we're going home with thousands collecting interest. Thousands of dollars collecting interest. And the radio, in fact, Glenda, who's paying a fourth of our whole radio bill, she sent that money in originally because she wanted a station locally. So we send her letters from people from Sacramento to cheer her heart. So she puts on her checks, praise God. Interesting, isn't it? So I would suggest, don't assume that God's going to bat you on the head to get, you go to God and say, Lord, where am I in this thing? Show me. Get red hot on it. And you could even start off and say, Lord, if this is your will, I'd like to do this. And get a little motion going. Because if this is the hour, and if it's almost up, which it may be, we'll look back and say, for a moment there was Camelot, and where was I? Those kinds of things happen in families. You know, so soon it's over. The laughter and tears. And there was Christian Life Fellowship. I wonder where they are now. And that's the way it goes. And we thought, I'll catch it next year. And next year didn't come. I'm not talking about leaving. I'm talking about God and the way He works. Praise the Lord. The calf is a really heavy thing. And then, of course, we've spoken a lot about the man. We have to have the image of the man. It isn't enough to just roar around like a lion and scare everybody to death. Or to work until when people look at you, your eyes are half closed because you're carrying the whole burden of the church by yourself and are growing old before your time and your hair is turning to silver because you're doing the work of 15 people. There has to be a part in there where you're a person, not an angel, but an actual person that the Lord can love and relate to and that can be in union with you. The man thing is really heavy, that we be in the Lord's image. You do meet some wild characters in the churches, some lions and some oxen and calves, but they're not men. That is, somehow when you talk to them, they're not for real. They're religious extremists. And God wants us to be good people, good, decent people with our feet on the ground so we can talk to the unsaved, not like some weirdo that dropped down from planet 9. But somebody that understands what life's all about. You know, that's had indigestion just like everybody else. Or poverty or something. He doesn't want us to get the religious quivers, you know, where we can't relate to the bums and to the rest of them. All right, now, the last one is what? Is the eagle. And notice it says he has the face of a man. That speaks to that which God is attracted to. And as a flying eagle. Now, some of the Lord's eagles are not flying. What is it that makes a flying eagle? There's only one thing. Huh? There's only one thing that makes a flying eagle.
They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Mount up with wings as eagles, not seagulls, eagles.
Praise the Lord. So, it requires prayer, and then he goes on again, and he says, and the four beasts have each of them six wings. What does six stand for? Man, that's the number of man. Man was man the sixth day. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So they're full of praise. Now that is God's kings. God's kings. Now, we didn't preach this here, but it'll be coming out in a mailer. I want to leave this diagram on here. Well, I can erase this part. But we start off in this order. Now, this is the order. First, we start as a witness. And then we become what? I didn't preach this here. I don't even think I touched on it Tuesday night. I think I just, it was at the chapel service for the kids, and then I preached it down on Lemon Grove, but I didn't get a chance to preach it here. What's the second thing we become? We become a king. If we witness. And thirdly, we become what? Do you know? A deliverer. And finally, we become what? The eternal servant of God. And these are the steps we go through. Now, think about Joseph. First, he bore witness to Pharaoh. He explained to Pharaoh what was going to happen. Now, every one of God, see, Joseph represents those who have been called out to rule. The church. Joseph represents the church. All right. First, of course, after he's in prison and everything, then he comes out and he has to bear a witness and he has to tell Pharaoh what is good and what is bad. Not just what is good. Now it's coming 7 wonderful years, Pharaoh. Oh man, this is the greatest. Man, you're going to have a crop you can't believe. But I don't tell him about the other because I'll lose the congregation. He told him the good and the bad. Or he bore a true witness of God. All right? And so what did Pharaoh make him instantly? A king. Oh, there's nobody as wise as this man. I will put you over the land. He made him a king. And then, as a result of that, what was Joseph able to do? He was able to deliver his brethren in the dark hour. Now, I don't want anyone to answer this that was at Lemon Grove or that was in for the kids for chapel. This is preached to the children at chapel. How did Joseph become a servant? Can't tell me. You give up? Joseph said, you want to tell him, do you remember Mary? See, Joseph never became an Egyptian at heart. Even though he was a witness and then a king, and then a deliverer, he remembered that his primary role was as what? A servant of God. And so he said, as he was dying, he said, when God brings you into the land, bring my bones.
And he, because he wanted to go up there and serve God with Israel. He did not want to stay down. Even though he had been a king and a deliverer and a witness and used wonderfully, his first thing was as a servant of God. So God, if we will do the job of witnessing in service, bearing witness to our generation today, the way God wants us to, he will make us a king. And if God makes us a king, we are going to be used for all the saved people of the world. You read Isaiah 61. They shall be the restorers of paths to dwell in. The desolations of many generations. Look what man has done to the earth. Look what man has done to the earth. Raped and robbed and pillaged and murdered. And until today the earth is just a wretch. And we have been raised up of God to rebuild the world. And I told Audrey some of the things I'm going to permit in my part of it and some I'm not. There's going to be no television, no automobiles. People are going to ride horseback. And every once in a while I see something and I say, that is going to be in the kingdom or that is not. And so a person would say, Brother Thompson, you're not telling me. Is that right? Now I'm trying to point out something to you. Either you are going to rule, or you're going to be ruled. And you say, oh no, I'm not. And God says, oh yes, you are. So it's no small matter. You could say, I don't care about this rulership. There will be no human being who is left without a specific place. That's what it means. There's no more sea. There is no more multitude of people washed around. Nobody knows who they are. 600,000 people on the beach outside Beirut without water. 600, that's twice the population of Iceland on the beach without baby food. No way of getting clean, no clean clothes. 600,000 people. Imagine that happened in San Diego. 600,000 people in this county with no food and no baby food and no way to take a shower. Could you imagine that's going on right now with human beings? It will not be so. God is creating rulers. And they will rule with a rod of iron. And they will say, this you will do. And this you will not do. And you see, for 400 years, Antichrist has been pumping into us. Nobody will tell me what to do. They rankle you. Wouldn't it rank you if Brother Thompson said, look, you can't have a car because we don't need it? He said, well, you don't tell me. Brother Thompson, you don't tell me whether I have a car. I'll have a car if I want to have a car. Gee. Right? Well, I said, all right. Well, that's fine. I love you, but now there's another county. It reminds me that I attended the Eastman School in New York, and they're the hotshot place. You think they need you, they don't need you or anybody else. Because George Eastman, with his cameras, he gave them all, and they got all the money they need. So, if you say to someone at Eastman, say, well, I don't care to do homework all night long or whatever it is, you know what they say to you? Why don't you go to Juilliard? That's another school. Downstate. They don't need you. They don't want you. They know where they're at. They know what they're doing. They've got I don't know. That must have been a miracle of God. They've got a line of people waiting, begging to get in. They don't need you. So why don't you go apply to Juilliard? It's a fine school. That's what they tell you at Eastman. They don't need you.
Copelia Jr. So, you have to take your chances with somebody else. Maybe my good brother over here, he'll permit that you like. You get over there and Angel meets you at the county and says, what are you doing? Well, I wanted to go see over here. I can't stand that Brother Thompson. He thinks he's so great, and he's going to tell me what I can do and what I can't do, and I don't like him, his looks, or the sound of his voice. And it looks greener over yonder, and I thought, maybe over here, if I get a little bit of democracy over here. And the angel says, what's that? Well, can I do what I want to? You will do what the Lord God wants you to. You may present yourself at the court if you want to have a petition. And you're looking at the angel like this. Boy, I'm really between a wall and a hard place. It's Brother Thompson over here and the angel over here. That's going to be like that. I don't want to set myself up here. It could be you. If it's your kingdom, I got to do what you say. Because that's the way the kingdom is. See, they shall rule. You don't vote on them. You don't say, I'll remember you in November. Thompson, we'll remember in November. I mean, you're stuck. How'd you like to be in James' part of the kingdom? You go in there, there's a big sign that says, mourn and weep. Then another sign behind that says, howl, ye rich! You hear them all in there wailing and howling, mourning and weeping. James come out, check on everyone. How come you're laughing? Well, we are being made rulers. And the days of democracy for us in the kingdom have just about wound up to an end. So, God has said that we will restore the earth. And that's why all our troubles. And until we are ready, the world is going to go on with blood. We have just started. If I understand the spirit, the bloodshed has just started in the Middle East. And persecution has just started in South America. And we're in for an interesting 1980s. I don't know how long we have to bear witness. If we bear witness, we will rule as kings. We will deliver, and we will end up as the eternal servants of God. But if we fail in this hour, we will end up hopefully saved, but we will be ruled over, because the kingdom is a rule of God, commanding with a rod of iron His will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, we're so glad that we're about come to an end, Lord, of this terrible, wretched situation that's going on, Lord, in the world today. Children being killed and people starving and wicked ruling and stealing and cheating and lying, and a church that's committing adultery with the world. And confusion, and people, Lord, that must break your heart because they profess to be ministers and then give counsel that is inequitable and destroys the hope of common people, takes away their right to judgment. And in the name of Jesus, and Lord, you are dumb because you cannot speak.
Because by the rules of the game, you have chosen to speak only through your ministry, and so you remain mute and represented as one who rules in inequity. Lord Jesus, what a trial that must be to your soul. And your bride is kept from the worship of you by the self-seeking of the churches. Your name is besmirched and made synonymous with greed. Lord, there's no witness being borne. But Lord, we know that you are a wonderful King. And you are the author of none of this. None of it, Lord. And here you've given us a message in this church, Lord, all of us together. The truth, Lord, I truly believe it's your word for the hour. And Lord, I really wonder if we are being faithful or if we are trying to make a church out of Christian Life Fellowship. Lord, so that we can relax and be at ease in Zion. Lord, I wonder if we're really doing what you want. And Lord, I'm concerned about the radio. I'm concerned about reaching people, Lord, and meeting their needs and giving them wisdom and really representing you right so that people don't think, Lord, that you're a God of inequity. You're a God of sin and a God would take away a man's little girls and then invite those people into your kingdom and leave the man outside without his children so that he wonders what will he do because Christ has betrayed him. Lord Jesus, Lord, what shall we do with the truth? Shall we think about it twice a week and then worship mammon? Shall we give ourselves to it, Lord, without thought to the consequences for our own lives? What shall we do, Jesus? Lord, we know if we bear a true witness, we'll reign as a king as Joseph did. We'll be able to deliver the world and we'll be your servant, which is the best thing of all. Lord, the whole world waits for us to make up our mind. And the rest of the church, the apostate church, waits for us to make up our mind. And we're worried, Lord, about what? Lord, are we in our golden hour now? Golden hours have a way of passing, and we look at them in retrospect and say, if I'd only known. Is that where we are, Lord? Are we time-binding in the wrong way? Are we projecting a future that's non-existent? Create in us eyes that see ahead, Lord, that evaluate the past, can see ahead and perceive our own motives, and can see around us in the present. Lord, make us to know. Lord, you said there were tribes that knew the times. Lord, we need to know the time. Is it time, Lord, to launch out on the radio? Is it time, Lord, or are we waiting for the future? Are we waiting for some millionaire to give money? What are we doing, Lord? We need your help, Lord. We're not able. Lord, I'm not able, Lord, to do this thing. Lord, I'm not able. You have to speak, Lord. You have to do it, Lord. The people trust you. Jesus, you have to do it. You have to speak to us and show us and make us to know. Oh, Lord, give us eyes within and without, Lord. Give us eyes to see the truth so that we can bear witness. Lord, cause us to know your will. Lord, do whatever is necessary to keep us alert and home, Lord, to your purposes. We don't want to just be at ease in Zion, Lord. We want to serve. We want to do what your will is. Now, Lord, give us all a sense of rest in your being, Lord. You have to make us fishers of men, but help us to be willing to be fishers of men. Lord, to do whatever you say. Praise your name. Praise your name. Agree with me in prayer tonight, saints, about this radio business. This is much on my heart. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I don't want to be pushing in some direction God's not going. And I hope I'm not ambitious. But Lord, I just pray with me. Lord, I'm so concerned, Lord. that we not be dropping the ball here and sitting, Lord, in our panel church, Lord, when there is such ignorance in the land, as Stan has told us about, ignorance. And we can't touch Florida, and we can't touch Chicago, and we can't touch Texas, Lord. We can't do it. Jesus. 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 Jesus, don't let us miss our hour, Lord. Lord, keep the burden on us. Don't let us miss, Lord. Oh, God, are we responsible for these people? Are you going to raise up someone else? Is it going to come in the future? Is some magic going to happen and they're going to hear somehow, somewhere, someday? Or are we merely asleep? Jesus, don't let us be occupied with the things that are occupying the nation. For they are death. Death. Lord. They are not life. They are death, entertainment, and violence, and lust, and money, and drunkenness. We say, it's not time, it's not time. Jesus, is that right? Is it not time? Is it all going to happen in some magical future? Is that what's going to happen? Or are we just letting it go by? Or what is happening, Lord? Please, Jesus, show all of us together, Lord. Show us all together so that we'll know what we're doing. So there'll be a witness in the congregation. Say, yes, that's right. That's what we should be doing. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and not running to our own homes, taking care of our own things against some future that may never come. It may never come. Only war and disaster and earthquakes, as the prophets are telling us, and no opportunity to do anything but to hang on for dear life because we missed our golden hour. Oh, Jesus, I don't know, Lord. All I know is the burden. And, Lord, I'm concerned that we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Lord, I'm not interested in a big church. I'm interested in the Word, Lord. In the Word. In the Word of God. Not interested in anything else, Lord. Just your word. Just your word that it'll go forth to every creature upon the earth. Jesus. Jesus. 4.5 billion people. And many of them church people, Lord, that do not know their right hand from their left. They do not know up from down. They're being told that sin is right and proper. And they're going to be caught up in a rapture in their sins. Not lions, not oxen, not men, not eagles, but caught up anyway in their flesh to serve God in immaturity. And that's what they're being taught, Lord. And that's what they believe. And that they should pray for money to get more money. And that's what they're being taught, Lord, that you won't let them suffer. That's what they're being taught, Lord, on every corner. And entertained. Entertained, Lord. Jesus, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do, Lord, in our little corner? Next year, some millionaire will die and leave us $1 million. I don't believe it, Lord. I hope it happens, but, Lord, I have my misgivings. Jesus, help us in our hour not to miss God, but to see what's going on. Not in July, but in June of 1982. Because it may be our last month together, for all we know. For all we know. For all we know, this may be it, Lord. Jesus, grant that we would live just as we would live if we knew it was going to be all over. Seeking your will. Stepping out and doing your will, Lord, as you lead us and guide us. And not wrapped up in secular society. Secular goals. Secular life. Jesus, 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 you speak, Lord. I've spoke my speakings. Lord, you speak. These are your rulers, Lord.
your kings, your priests, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Oh God. Let me ask the ushers to bring in the children for the communion. They may all be here. Lord, you open up your arms wide and you said, I love you this much, and then you died. Lord, we're here tonight to eat of your flesh and drink of your blood. Lord, are we worthy? Are we worthy? Are we worthy, Lord, to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Help us to examine ourselves and to see, Lord, if we're really in the faith or if we're half in the world. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You're so great, Lord. You're so terrific. Amen, Lord. Amen.
We encourage each of you tonight to partake of the broken body and shed blood of our Lord, that each one might avail of his grace that's found in it, his life. We ask that you would please wait for all of us serve in front of you.
Amen. If you haven't been doing as you should, take the communion and tell the Lord by His grace you're going to do as you should. Whatever He says, whatever He saith unto you, do it. Praise the Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come and worship, royal priesthood. Come and praise Him, holy nation. Worship Jesus, our Redeemer. He is precious, King of glory. Come and worship, royal priesthood. Come and praise Him, holy nation. Worship Jesus, my Redeemer. He is precious, King of glory. Come and worship, royal priesthood. Come and praise Him, holy nation. Worship Jesus.
Jesus, our Redeemer, He is precious, King of glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise. Oh. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do, in remembrance of me. And Lord, we know that this flesh is for the royal priesthood. It's for your kings and priests. Lord, it's for your church, your wife, your brothers, the elect. It's to unite us, Lord, to you, so that we might be one with you. Oh, hallelujah. Grant tonight, Lord, that we are grasping through your grace that for which we have been grasped. And Lord, if anyone's coming short, we pray that through this bread, they will renew their resolve to be a part of you, Lord. Forgive the sins that are past. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. Wash away, Lord. We come before you tonight, asking you, Lord, to remit sin, to release, and to give everyone peace, Lord, and a firm resolve, Lord, to live each day like it's the last, to be cleaving to you, Lord, to be free from the world. Lord, this is for your kings. And put the lion in us tonight, Lord, and the ox, and the man, and the eagle. Praise your name, Lord. Shall we partake together? Shall we hold a cup before the Lord? After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And Lord, this assembling tonight, Lord, we're examining ourselves. Are we in the faith, Lord? Are we in the faith? Praise your name. Answer that to each heart, Lord. Answer it, Lord. Praise your name. The ruling priesthood, Lord. Praise your name. Shall we partake together? Praise God. Praise God. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Praise your name. Praise your name. Wonderful Jesus. I feel a burden. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Varakahasilia. Pray, saints. If you have to go and you've got small children, please feel free to go. There's no problem. And for those that find it possible and have a burden, let's pray for a moment. I want God to have His will in this assembly.